I may have to leave a bit early.
Whenever you have to leave, saying, Dr. Hurt, you're always an addition to the shiur.
It's not for what you're saying.
I won't take it personally. I'll just
unless
be devastated.
Unless you're quoting some obscure Chassidish rabbi. Well, then my Litvisha blood.
Look, on my father's side, it's not obscure. I'm a Lubavitcher Chassid for seven generations. On my mother's side, it's a little more obscure. She's a Stretna Einikel, so that's Galicia. When my parents got married, it was considered a mixed marriage for a Galiciana to marry a Litvak. Although, again, a Chassidish Litvak, but the Lubavitchers were in Litva. Yeah. My father's Stretna, where he was brought up, was a few miles away from Vilna.
Yeah.
You know, the Hasidim, the Chabad Hasidim made tremendous inroads there into enemy territory, I guess you'd say.
You speak Yiddish? My grandfather used to brag that his father gave Malkus. They found a Chassid in the town. And he bragged about it.
Okay. You know, if you want to talk about cultural changes, then one of the most radical cultural changes is the jokes that the older generation used to tell about wives, about women. Today is absolutely anathema. But if I would tell you the jokes that my father used to say, and to him it was, he didn't even think about it. That was the way he was brought up. Okay. So, Mosai, we're talking here about the Tochev, and we call them the Nitchav. And the Gemara says the following, that the Nitchav, or otherwise known as the Ochel, because ultimately, you know, the Truma goes down his belly, is Chayev. What do I mean is Chayev? You always have to differentiate between theoretical Chayev and actual Chayev. And in our context, they both mean the same. He's theoretically chayev, but he's actually not chayev. So, what do I mean? He should be chayev, but he's not chayev because of kim lev derab minin. And the Gemara is looking for a case where there's kim lev derab minin because he's not chayev for tashlumin as a, and this we have to get into, either a gazlan or a mazik, until he's chayev for a zar that ate truma. Do you follow? So the challenge of the Gemara is to push off, to delay the chiyuv tashlumin until such moment of time that he is chayav misa, in order to come up with a case of kim lev derab minin. Because if you recall, this was a sugya back on daf lamed omid aleph. We're already heavy into the parak, so we're up to daf lamed omid beis. But back in prehistoric times, when we were up to daf lamed omid aleph, the Gemara wanted to know what's the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. There were two ways of understanding Rav Nechunya ben Akana, whether it was based on Ason, a broader definition of Ason, whether it was based on the parish of Molech. And the nafkamina was going to be this case where he's chayev both for Achila and for Gneva, and for stealing something. But the Gemara says, quoting Rav Chisda, that if he's chayef for gneva gzeila the moment he lifts it up, way before he eats it, that's not going to satisfy us, because we're ultimately looking, that's our goal, for a case of be'idna of kimle b'derabimine. Now, okay, let's delay beyond hagbah, right? So what's the latest stage beyond hagbah? So Gemara says, the reason why he's not chayef, meaning the ochel, is not chayef hagbah, is because tochev lo bebeis habliyah. There was someone who was tochev lo. First, the Gemara thought he was tochev lo lepiv, and the Gemara rejects that because then the ochel is chayef leisa, which is way before bliyah. But now we're talking about tochev l'toch beis habliyah. Now we're getting a lot closer to bliyah. And the Gemara differentiates between two cases. One case is lo matzi ladure. If the tochev places the truma so deep down the throat of the ochel that he couldn't even regurgitate it, so then he's potter and gans. And again, we were looking for a theoretical chiyuv which is knocked off because it came later the ravni. And Rashi here introduces the concept of anus. If somebody puts the chelev or the truma down my throat to such an extent that I can't cough it up, then Eimcha'on is Gadol Mizeh. Elowat, by process of elimination, we're left with Matzi Ladure. So it means that, to some extent, the ochel was a bar das here, or a bar bechira, meaning it wasn't onus. He had a choice. He could make a decision. At that point, he could have regurgitated. Okay. So what happens after that? So the Gemara says, "Ilo motzi la duri nahader." And the Rishonim understand that the word nahadeh, which means he should have regurgitated, indicates that he's going to be chayav for tashlumin at that point. He's not yet ready for blia. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're going to assume that you're only chayav for gneva with a maisa gneva, in other words, a situational gneva or gzela is not enough for you to be chayav, then we have to assume that in the situation of motzi ladure, he did something that is an active maisa gzela, which would have to mean that he took it from the point of motzi ladure over the threshold to lo motzi ladure. Now, if that be the case, what would you call that? What word in Lashon Kodesh would you use to describe the situation of taking something that's in your throat from the point of motzi ladure, where you could regurgitate it, and putting it in a place where you cannot regurgitate it? I'll give you a hint. It starts with a bays and ends with a hay. Mm-hmm. And there are three letters in the middle. Blia. That is blia. Why are you chayav if you're a zar that eats truma? You're chayav for blia. Unless we're going to introduce here the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan called Hanos Me'ayim, which we'll get to that. So keep that in the back burners. But before we get to that, let's talk about Hanos Grono. Let's talk about blia. If we're going to assume that the Gemara means to identify motzi ladure lehadre, he should regurgitate it, as saying that if he decided not to regurgitate it, and he implemented a maisa gzela, which means a voluntary act of blia, then what's the Gemara bothered about? Why is the Gemara objecting that the chiyuv tashlumin predated the chiyuv misa? It's all the same moment. It's exactly simultaneous, because blia equals blia equals blia. At what point am I still not yet up to blia? And at what point do I cross the threshold into blia? The answer is, from the point of lo matzi of matzi laduri to the point of lo matzi laduri, that's blia. He gulps it in such a way that it's so far down he can't regurgitate. Now, if that be the case, then at that moment in time he should be chayav for zar shachal truma, or for chelev. And hence we have a case of kimlev the rabbi. No, the Gemara is saying, no, that's not kimlev the rabbi. And in order to come up with kimlev the rabbi, the Gemara is going to have to say that motzi ladure al yedeat chak, that maybe if he pushes himself and catches himself, immediately he can gulp it up. But in the classic situation of motzi ladure, he's going to be chayev at some moment in time. And l'chora, if you assume that gzela needs a maisa, we're going to soon see that's going to be a machlok between the ketzosa and the nesivas, then the maisa is going to have to be when he takes it to the point of lo matzi ladur. At that point, it's a blia. Hence, he should be potter for kim lev d'rami. So, what's the Gemara is objecting about? That's what we want to study today. Again, I'm not ready for any questions or comments. I just want to get to the point at which I feel a little bit comfortable in this sugya. So, bear with me for another few minutes. Now, what we want to talk about here is the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita Mekubetzes, which if you have the pages, you'll find it on Kuf Lamed Tes, 139, if you want to see it inside, on the right column. He says the following, that our sugya is going to assume that the fact that the truma, again, whenever I say truma right now, until I differentiate, which we're going to do in a few minutes from now, I'm going to assume truma chalev. You know, it doesn't matter to me right now. Again, in 5 minutes, we're going to make a big distinction between the two. But right now, I'm using the word truma. Fine. He says the following. That the fact that the truma is in his mouth, that alone would not be enough to qualify, to constitute a gzela. Meaning, hagbah is gzela because that's called a maisa kinyan, and hagbah is kona in general in metaltalin for any kind of mecher, matona, whatever it might be. In the case of Tochav Lo Chaveru B'toch Beis Havliya, he has no Hagbah. Can we now say that the fact that it is in his mouth, the truma is in his mouth, that itself could be a substitute, a replacement for Hagbah, and it could be a Kenyan? Now, you might ask me, why? Why should the having the truma in his mouth be a replacement for truma? For Hagbah? Chatzer! Excellent! Maybe that's a Chatzer. If you retain something in your chatzer, the Gemara is going to have a case in Bava Kamma where somebody's animal accidentally went into his pen, you know, his corral, and he locked the door, and he's chai bishum gzela. So maybe the fact that he's holding on to the truma, not letting anyone open his mouth and take it out, that itself could be a kinyan of chatzer. He's locking the truma in his chatzer. So the Shita Mekubetzes comes up with a brand new principle, and he says no. He's not going to be chayav as a gazlan by virtue of the fact that he's holding on to the truma in his mouth and he's not letting anyone pull it out, because of a principle called, on the fourth line down in this paragraph, ein derech knia b'peh. That for some reason, this is not a classic derech, the normal way you do kinyan of chatzer, you know, in this case if it's chatzer, and therefore that's not called a kinyan. Then he goes on to say that perhaps we now can shed a light on Rashi. Rashi says here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, I don't know what I did with my Gemara right now, maybe I left it outside. But anyway, Rashi says on Daf Lamed Amud Beis that the Ochel, and this is our text in our Rashi, what does he say? He's Chayav Mishum Mazik. Oh, says the Shita Mekubetzes, you know why he's Chayav Mishum Mazik? Because he can't be a gazlan. Why can't he be a gazlan? Because ain't there knia bepeh. So the very fact that he's holding on to the truma, not letting anyone get access to it, he has no intention to return it, his intention is to swallow it. At this point, he is not chai b'shum gzela because there's no kinyan. So Rashi therefore asks himself the question, well, if you're holding on to something, not letting, you know, that belongs to someone else, not letting anyone, and certainly not the owner, get access to it because your intention is to swallow it, then why are you chai? L'chora, we have to answer that he's not chayav mishum gazlan. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, read Rashi carefully. Nowhere does Rashi say that he be chayav mishum gzela. So the ochel is not a gazlan. That's the equation, or I don't know how you say the opposite of the equation. Put a line to the equal sign of Rashi. Rashi's saying that the ochel is not chayav mishum gzela. So then why is he chayav? He's chayav mishum mas. Now, watch what happens. If he's chayav mishum mazik, then at what point in time is he going to be considered a mazik? We started with matzi la dure, which means he can regurgitate it. If he can regurgitate it, then presumably, and this is certainly going to be the case of chelev before we get to truma, that's not a mazik. Because mazik means that I take this object out of the world. It's out of the orbit. You have no way of retrieving the object. If I can regurgitate it, I'm not a mazik. I can just regurgitate it. Now, he decided not to regurgitate it. Is he called a mazik? The answer is no. Because at any moment, he can decide to regurgitate it. So at what point does he become a mazik? At what point does this object, this truma, become totally out of the orbit of the universe? And what's the answer going to have to be? Lo matzi la dure. No, lo matzi la dure. We're back to square one. We're in deep trouble here. Why? Because lo matzi la dure means blia. And if it means blia, then at that point he should be chayav for truma. If it was truma, hence it should be kimle rabbi. Why is the Gemara saying nihadir? In other words, there's a tremendous advantage. We have a major investment of funds here to say that he's chayav mishum gazlan. Because if he's chayav mishum gazlan, then a possibility exists that even before blia, he's going to have to pay for the object. And why is that so? Because gazlan, as opposed to mazik, doesn't require that the object be completely annihilated from the universe. Even if the object is alive and well, even if it's matzi la dure, he could still be chayav mishum gazlan. Now again, why would he be chayav mishum gazlan? So we're going to have to make a few assumptions. We can either choose to say that that path itself is derech kniya. We don't want to go down that route. We'd rather prefer to say no, that it's got to be beyond peh. And now we have to ask the following question: at what point then is he a gazel? So we're going to suggest the following pshat, and as we go through the Mar Makomos here for today, we're going to try to see if we can find those who say this. And again, it's all going to come back to this question about whether a gazlan has to do a maisa gzela, and we're going to have a ktsos about this. That the very moment that he decides that even though it's matzi ladure, he could cough it up, but he makes the decision that he's not going to cough it up. In other words, he's going to retain it for purposes of achila. At that moment, he becomes a gazlan. Pili ploy. What do you mean at that moment he becomes a pili? What did he do? He actually did nothing. Why? Because the tochei put it in a place of matzi ladure. And he himself has not swallowed it. Because again, if he swallowed it, we're back to square one, we're in deep trouble, because that's when he should be for Misa and Chikim Le Ravine. So we have to find an earlier stage in which he incurs a Chiyuv Mamon before the Chiyuv Misa, and that would be at the moment that it's Matzi Ladure. No, if it's Matzi Ladure, where's Gzela? So we're going to have to come to a fantastically, far-reaching conclusion that you can be Chayav as a Gazlan the moment you make a decision that you're holding on to something of someone else, even though you haven't done a Maisa. You have not done a Maisa, you just have made a decision. And the Machshav itself makes him into a Gazlan. And that, again, as I told you before, we'll see it inside, that's going to be one of those bombastic machlokas as we go through.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, wait, just give me a minute, Rabbi. Again, I'm just trying, Rabosa, if you don't mind bearing with me, only on this occasion, because I'm trying to juggle so many different things in my head. Give me a few minutes, because otherwise I am totally discombobulated. Okay. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes goes a step further in Rashi's frame of reference, and he asks the following question. True, that according to Rashi, at some point in time, when he makes it loboy ladure, lo matzi ladure, he becomes a mazik. But here, says the Shita Mekubetzes, we can make a distinction between Truma and Chelev. Why? Because he's saying the following. It could be that you could argue in the case of Truma that you have a halacha called Mois, Mem Aleph Yud Samach. And that means that if the Truma is down in his throat, And at this point, let me use the word salivating or whatever word you want to use. I mean, again, we're not using something that's aesthetically appealing because we're trying to get to the point of mois, so that's by definition, not aesthetically pleasing. Then, as far as truma is concerned, you could possibly argue that already at that moment he was a mazik, because even if he were to spit it forth, again, you and I can disagree with this, but let's hear what the Shita Mekubetzes has to say about it. Because he was way before me by a few years. So the Shita Mekubetzes says that even if he would cough it up, it would still be mois. Says the Shita, that would open up a new vista for Rashi, but it's wrong. In other words, this is a glorious opportunity. This would salvage why the Gemara says that at this moment in time, he's already chayov, again, according to Rashi, as what? As a mazik, even though he hasn't swallowed it yet. The answer is because even if he would cough it up, he's already made it into mois. That would be brilliant. But there's a problem, because we're talking not only about truma, but also about what? Chelev, says the Shita Mekubetzes. In the case of Chelev, Chelev was never roi lachila to begin with. The value of the Chelev is inherent in the Hanah. And therefore, even if it would be mois, it would still be royal hanah, and therefore you would not be chayav as a mazik. The Gemara is using truma as a parallel, as a mirror image to the case of chelev, and that doesn't make any sense because the Gemara should have differentiated. Maybe in the case of matzi laduri and truma, he's chayav as a mazik because it's mois, but that logic is not going to apply in the case of chelev. Hence, we're back to square one. We're stuck with Rashi. On the one hand, Rashi has a tremendous advantage here that he circumvents the whole issue of gzela here. We don't have to assume that the ochel is chayav mishum gzela. If anyone's going to be chayav mishum gzela, it would be the tochei. And that depends on the Baal HaMor that we studied at great length the other day. And in this case, maybe the tochev is not chayv as a gazlan. Rashi says lo aviv lo midi. Maybe because he didn't know his chaylev. Maybe because he didn't take it laatzmo. He had no intent of having any benefit from it. He's this good Samaritan that wants to feed the chaylev to somebody. Whatever the case may be. But certainly you can in Hilchos Gzeila according to Rashi, you can shift the chiyuv gzeila from the ochel to the tochev, right? The tochev, if anyone is going to be chayv mishum gzeila, it's the tochev, and that certainly reflects the shita of the Baal HaMor, because the Baal HaMor holds that if you steal something in order to feed someone else, then you're the one who's a gazlan. The ochel is not a gazlan; he doesn't do anything to steal it, and therefore Rashi holds there's no gzeila. If, for example, we go with that shita that gzeila requires a maisa, then Rashi's saying very well that at this point of lo matzi la dure, of matzi la dure, he's not a gazlan because he's totally passive. But he could be a masik. It would be great, and it's very exciting. I would dance in the streets here. This is mamash simchas haTorah, except for one problem, and that is truma, because the Shita Gubetzis says that logic, that Motzi La Dure makes him into a Mazik, that operates very well as far as what? As far as Truma is concerned, but it's not going to help us as far as Chalev is concerned. But here, we have another Shita, which you'll see on the left column, in number Kuf Chav Tes. And this is going to be a Biur of the Ra'ah, also one of the Rishonim. And he says the following, I don't understand something, he says. At what point does the chiyuv misa begin as far as kimle to the rab mine? And the answer to that question lies in the sugya daf lamed aleph. The gemara daf lamed aleph establishes that akira l'tzorech hanocha, and therefore, from the moment of akira and on, he's going to be included in kimle to the rab mine. Well, if you apply akira l'tzorech hanocha, then why don't we apply that same logic here in the case of blia? If Rashi is saying he's not a Mazik until he's Bolea, well, even if somehow you're going to split with a very thin knife, it's like, cutting hairs, into two, take a hair and cut it into two, and you're going to tell me that, well, there's some point in which, even though it's lo matzi ladure, it's not yet considered Blia, maybe you'll introduce, Rav Yochanan Shita of Hanas Me'ayim, you're still not in the clear, says the Shita, the name of the Ra'ah, because you have a principle called Litzorech, which means that whatever is necessary in order to achieve the Chiv Misa, it's all part of the Avera. Just like Akir is necessary to clinch a Chiv Hotzah, or a Havara, whatever it might be, because Ein Hanoch below Akira, so too, you have to swallow this, even in the first level of swallowing, this splitting hairs, which is called Shlav Aleph of Blia. Shlav Aleph of Blia, maybe when you cross into the low Motzi Ladur, and then it's a Mazik because he can never get his Chalev back. Nevertheless, he's already Chayav Misa. What do you mean he's Chayav Misa? Rabbi Yochanan says, Anos Me'ayim. Why are you telling me he's Chayav Misa? The answer is Litzorech. Because it's impossible to get to the point of achila. In the case of Agbah, he could bend over and he could swallow it up, blah, blah, blah. But in this case, how are you going to get it down his belly? So he quotes the Imre Moshe here on page Kuf Mem, who said something really wild. And this was the last thing that we discussed yesterday. I'm just reiterating it for my own self and for those who weren't here yesterday. That the difference between the Maisa Avera and the Chiyuv. A very abstract lumbus here. That reminded me yesterday, the Rav used to always say, is the difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah, in certain very rare cases. Here also, there's a difference between the Maisa Avera and the Chiyuv. The Maisa Avera will be a very extended, all-inclusive Maisa Avera that begins at Shlav Aleph, of Belial when he makes it into Lo Motzi Ladui. But the Chiyuv is only going to come into fruition when he finishes his Belial, which he calls Gemar Belial. Now again, whether Gemar Belial means from Yochanan's Hanos Meayim, whether Gemar Belial means Hanos Agrono, I don't know. Very confusing to me. But be that as it may, he says the following, that when he gets to the point of Lo Motzi Ladure, Eino Chinami, as far as the Avera is concerned, he's already begun his Belial. But the Chiyuv is suspended, is postponed until Gemar Belial. And he says that the Belial is only a Maisa Avera, but it's not the Chiyuv. So you'll ask me, what about Akira? Akira is also a Maisa Avera, and yet the Chiyuv is postponed until when? Until Anocha. So he says, Alam Desir. Unbelievable. You know, Rabosai, this is one of the most abstract sugis I've ever lived in my life. It is so abstract. You wonder why I'm so nervous and so tense. Well, first, because I'm standing in front of Talmidei Chacham, but secondly, because it's such an abstract sugya, and it's so complicated. There's so many different variables here. You know, when you talk about five definitions of Gzela, three definitions of Mazik, you have two definitions of Truma and another five definitions of Chelev, and then you want to talk about when it's Be'itna, and then you want to throw into the equation a discussion about Litzarah, whether it's part of Maisa Avera or not part of Maisa Avera. So you have to bear with me on this. Comes along the Emre Moshe, he says the following. In the case of Akira, Akira is not just a Maisa Avera, it's more than that. The Chiyuv itself is comprised of two different elements. We are going to integrate, or shall I say, synthesize both the Akira and Anocha to make up one long Chiyuv. The Chiyuv starts with Akira and ends with Anocha. Not so in the case of Belial. And here's how he proves it. And don't ask me any questions here about intravenous feeding, because at this point, I think the Emre Moshe must have known about intravenous feeding. I don't know. Because the Emre Moshe, but he was before that technology. Anyway, he says the following. That if Lu Yitzuyer, you could take a truma or a chalev and put it into the guy's belly without blia, he would be chayv. Listen carefully. There's no way that you'd be chayev for Hanoch without Akira, because Akira is part of the mechayev. And if you drop it, you're not chayev. You're no less chayev for the Akira than you are for the Hanoch. They integrate together. Masha'enke Bliya is a Maisa Avera, but it's not part of the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv is when it goes down to his belly. And this, my friends, really leads us to a discussion which I'm not getting into today, because we discussed it at great length on Daf Kuf, on page Kuf Mem Gimel, about the Rambam in Macholos Asuros, and about the principle of Misasek B'chalov V'arayis Chayim Mishum Shekein Bene. And according to one of the definitions that we operated with on page Kuf Mem Gimel, we said that the Isur of Macholos Asuros is the Hana. It's not the Maisa. Every other Avera in the Torah requires a Maisa, but with regard to Achila, it's the Hana that he gets from it, and therefore, even in the case of Misasik, which means it's not a Maisa Achila, he's going to be Chayv. I don't know if any of you remember that discussion. It depends if you were here, and it depends if you were awake, and it depends if you have a good memory. There are a lot of different factors here, but we had a tremendously long and complicated discussion here about the difference between what's called Hanoah Bolo Leon Bal Karch, which is in Psachim Chaf Hei, and the Sugya and the Tosefta of Hamis Asik B'chalov Marais Chayv Shekein Ben. And what we basically said was that in Machol Sasuris and in Arayis, it's the Hanoah itself that generates the Maisa. So therefore, if we get back now to page Kuf Mem, when we're studying here this radical Chiddush of the Emre Moshe, which he says that if you could Lu Yitzur, the Tochev, we'd be able to inject the truma, the chelev, into the belly of the ochel. Again, we're assuming now that he did it mertzono, you know, he was just a long arm, so to speak, he was his shliach, or whatever you want to call it, he was his agent, then the ochel would be chayev simply as a result of what? Of Bliya, simply a result of Hanos Me'ayim. Without Bliya. You could cut out Bliya. Bliya is a luxury item. It's a Maisa Avera, but it could be avoided. It could be circumvented. Not so in the case of Akir. And this is a radical breath. And here, we get to the Shita Megubetzes, which is on the bottom of Kuf Mem, on the right side, for those who like to see the text inside. This is Os Kuf Lam. And he says the following. At what point are you chayav in tashlumen? Two possibilities. One possibility is from the moment that you're the ochel, decide not to cough it up. Second possibility, from the moment that you begin your belief. This, he says, is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos is pretty outspoken about it. Rashi, it's a little bit more of a diuk, and I think, Herb, you had that diuk in Rashi yesterday. And he says the following. Nechleku, Rashi v'tosus. Eima saichal chiv tashlumen. In a case of matzi ladure, what is the moment which clinches the chiv mamon here? Rashi says, ki lo ahadre. Rashi says, ki lo ahadre. What does that mean, ki lo ahadre? And then Rashi continues and it says, Mayesha Shaita Iumazikle. The Kashale Rashi, I forgot this Chayav Zeb, Bitmei Truma, Kati Chiv Mamim Chiv Misa Boin Kiachas. Why? Because he has to wait until Bliya. And if he has to wait until Bliya, at that point, there's an overlap between the two, Mishum Hachi Kas. And therefore, Rashi was compelled to come up with the theory that Kilo Ahadri Miyad Chayav Chiv Tashlumin Kodem. There's a Chiv Tashlumin at the moment of Lo Hadri. Lo Hadri means he decides to be passive and not to spit it up. That's wonderful, except for the fact that Rashi calls him a Mazik. Why is he a Mazik if it's Motzi Ladure? Very difficult. So again, there's good news here and there's bad news. The good news is that I understand quite clearly where Rashi is coming from, what compels him to assume that in this passive state he's chayav. And here we put two variables together, A plus B. A is the fact that Rashi wants to make sure he's not up to the stage of Bliya yet. Because if he's up to the stage of Bliya, we have Kum Lev D'Ramin. And B, put into the equation the fact that Rashi holds that the Gemara doesn't say that he did any action over here. And therefore, let's say Rashi might hold that he's not chayav as a gazlan, because to be a gazlan, you need some sort of an action. Like, for example, the ktsos is going to say that the Gemara Bar Mitzvah, remember I told you about an animal that went into my pen. But what did I do to make me into a ganav? I just made an intellectual decision that I want to steal it? Nay. The Gemara says explicitly about Mitzvah daf yudam et beis, nol b'fanel. So we need a maisa gzela. That's the ktsos. And therefore, the Rashi here is forced to the position that somehow he did a maisa. Because if you're going to tell me he's chayav as a gazlan, which we're going to see in the next paragraph, Amaltosis, on the top left of page Kuf Mem, then you're going to ask yourself the question, at least according to the Ktzos, where is the maisa gzela? Because Tosis is going to assume he's chayav for tashlumin, even at the moment that he made this decision not to cough it up, and he hasn't done anything yet. So Rashi has to come up with some sort of a new theory. So what's the new theory? How could he be chayav before Bliya, Zot Rashi Mishum Mas? And again, here we get stuck with the difference between Truma and Chelev, which again, right now my book is a Tzarki and Gadol. If you guys have answers, please let me know, but right now I just want to move on to the next point. So again, the Shita Mekubetza says that we have a machlokas here, had a taich of the sugya of Matzi Ladure. Rashi learns Matzi Ladure means that he is absolutely passive. He decides in his mind not to cough it up. He becomes a mazik at that stage. He cannot be a gazlan, says Rashi, because there's no maisa. And Rashi is of the opinion, like the Ktsos, which we'll see in Kuf Lamed Aleph, on the bottom left of this page, requires a maisa to be chayav mishum gzeloi, like you need a ne'ilas hadelas, right? The ne'ilas, no, so Rashi holds that there's a stage prior to Belia where he's chayev, but again, he can't be chayev mishum gzela because he just made a decision without a maisa. He's chayev mishum maz. And here we can introduce what we saw earlier in the Shittim Gevetz on the previous page, that it's moitz. It becomes disgusting, and then we're stuck with the question what to do with chayev. Aval HaTosfos on the top left. Tosfos says, Kilo mahadr chayev de misa lo pochle adi asa liblia gemura. A phrase that Tosfos introduces as a new variable into the equation which Rashi never mentioned. And that is that there are two stages of Bliya. There's stage number one of Bliya and stage number two of Bliya. And you're not going to be Chayav Misa until Bliya Gemura. And then again, you can ask the question, what about Litzorech? And you're going to have to go back to the Imre Moshe. He says the following. V'ayinu mishum delo nichalei letosus mashkosa rashi devali kol emes de motzi ladure akati lo nischayev mom de motzi ladure. Now again, I'm not sure if Tosfos is analyzing this from the perspective of Mazik, which is the literal translation of Rashi, or from his own perspective that we're dealing with Gzela. But in any event, if it's Motzi Ladure, it's certainly not Mazik, because it's Motzi Ladure, it's still a Dover Ba'ola. Tosfos doesn't know anything about Moitz. And if we're dealing with Gazlan, so if it's Motzi Ladure, what did he do over it? He did nothing. So where's the Gzela? And therefore, it came by he shaita is chayv misa nitzah shnechi yivbom keachas lechach kosav the afagav lo nischayv etashuma shiach nisenu beduchta de lo motzi la dure. So Tosfos, as opposed to Rashi, is going to have to introduce an active element of crossing the threshold between motzi la dure and lo motzi la dure. Mikomakom, nevertheless, he's not chayv misa. Why? Because he doesn't have Belia Gemura. Tosfos requires for the Chiyuv Misa Belia Gemura. And Belia Gemura, let's for our purposes, just to make life a little easier for ourselves, let's identify that as Hanos Me'ayim. He's not ready for Hanos Me'ayim. Again, he swallowed it with a little bit of a gulp that made it impossible for him to regurgitate it, and that's enough for him to be Chayiv as a Gazler, or maybe even a Mazik. But nevertheless, he's not Chayiv Misa at this point. The Chiyuv Misa is postponed until such time as what? As this Hanos Me'ayim, when he does a Bliya Gemura. And this is the Shita Mekubetzis' analysis in the Machlokes, Rashi and Tosa. I want to take this a little further in the next paragraph, Ulefi Zeh. Ulefi Zeh Bevadei Lekalameh Medir Rashi Sfirilei Dechiyuva Shal Ha'ochel Uvishu Mazik. We're really, really stuck now. Because again, according to Rashi, we're dealing with the situation of Motzi Ladure. And if it's Motzi Ladure, how could he be Chayev as a Mazik? Al Korchenu, we have no way of learning except with the Ritva's Girsan Rashi. Lechiyuva Mishum Gaza. You have to rewrite the text. I mean, I'm not very happy about that, are you?
Yeah.
But the Ritva's happy about that. The Rashi loved Dafka Noket Mazik. Okay, he doesn't at this point introduce the Ritva. He wants to say the Rashi really never meant what he said. He said it, but he didn't mean it. That also makes us very happy, correct? Which means it makes it impossible to get access. It's outside of the orbit of the world. Is Eino Mufsai. He doesn't know anything right now about Moitz. And again, even if we did know about Moitz, it wouldn't help us in Chelet. Is therefore, the point here is that he's not Chayiv Mishum Mazik. Nu, if he's not Chayiv Mishum Mazik, so why is the Ochel Chayiv? We're at the point of Motzi Ladure. He's not Chayiv as a Mazik. So what is he Chayiv for? But also, by definition, by passive elimination, he can only be chayv as what?
Gazel.
So let's take the Ritva. Let's say Rashi's lav dafka. He's chayv as a gazel. Well, where's the maisik zela? It means that Rashi holds that you can be chayv for gzela even without a maisik zela. This is tremendous repercussions here, Rabosai. If you're following the logic, and Rashi wants to say that already at the point of Matzila, we're still at the point of Matzila, and yet he's chayv. Because Rashi doesn't have this ability to split between Bliya, Trilas Bliya and Sof Bliya. Rashi doesn't know of such an existing concept. Is Mamela, Rashi can't be working within the framework of Mazik because it's not Mufsad, because it's Motzi Ladure. He can only be Chayv because he made an intellectual decision that he doesn't want to give this up. And if he doesn't want to give this up, he becomes a Gazlan. I call it B'Shev V'Altas. And we begin to understand why Tosfos can't accept Rashi, because Tosis is going to insist that to be chayav as a gazlan, you have to do some sort of a maisa, and that's going to be the Tosis about Noel before now. Oh, now he adds a beautiful piece. He says, "V'lovelo pirish kad Tosis, the afal gab da rishon nasa gazlan, mikomakom gam hasheni chayav midin rotsa mizegova." Right? Why not assume, based on the sugya in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, that you could be gover from two people,
either one,
from either one. It's your choice. You know who's a better baldin to deal with? To Yesh Lomar, to Rashi Svir LeKeshitas Haktzos. Okay, this is a different shita Ktzos, not the Ktzos that we were referring to before, which is in the next paragraph. So the Ktzos that we're doing here, just for the record, is in Simon Lamed Dalet, Sif Katan Gimel. Okay, then we're going to have another Ktzos that's in Simon Shin Mem Ches. My gosh. You know, we're fast forwarding more than 300 Simonim in the Ktzos. 300 Simonim. The first Ktzos says that when the Rishon becomes a Gazlan, Shuv Hasheni Hasheni, Shegazal Gazlan. You can't have two people, Mazecher Zeh, both of whom are Chai Bishum Zeh. So what's Rotsum Yzeh Gover? It has to do with Mazi. But Rashi has quoted himself into a position that in our Sugya, he's not Chayav Mishum Mazi. Because Rashi holds that if we'd be Chayav Mishum Mazi, we'd apply Kibli Rabine. Because in order to make it Mazi, he has to be Nifsad Min Ola, which means he needs Bliya. And if he need Bliya, at that point he should incur a Chiyuv Misa. Rabbi said, who's following you? And it's an amazing amount of mathematics here. You would need a PhD in mathematics to follow this sugya. There's so much cheshbon here. It's endless. You're following the logic here. Why is it that Ratzon Yizegov and Ratzon Yizegov, the Ketzos says that Ratzon Yizegov doesn't mean that the Ochel is Chayav Midin Gazlan? Nay, you can't be Chayav Midin Gazlan if it was already taken out of the Rishus Midin by the first guy, the one who picked it up and stole it. Elohim, what does Ratzon Yizegov mean in the case of the Ochel? It means Chayav Midin Mazik, where Rashi is cornered into a box. He cannot accept Mazik over here because Mazik means simultaneity between the moment in time where it's Mufsad Min HaOlam and the moment in time which he's Chayav Mishum for Truma. So Rashi has to eliminate Mazik, and therefore Rashi has to deal with Gazlan. How can Rashi have his cake and eat it too? How could Rashi say that the Ochel is Chayav Mishum Gzela when Rashi holds that Ratzon Yizegova, the Ochel, is only Chayav Mishum Mazik? How do you envision such a thing? And we're saying like the Ktzos, with all the rise of the Ktzos, that once a person is a Gazlan, no one else can be a Gazlan on the same object. It's already taken out of the Rishus of the Mizah, so you can't be a Gazlan. You can be a Mazik, but you can't be a Mizah. You can't be a Gazlan. And Ratzon Yizegov means that the second guy is a Mazik, but Rashi is allergic to Mazik, because if Rashi, for Rashi, Mazik would be suicidal, because then it's Kimlev the Rabbi, so what's tomorrow's Kasha? So how can we have that cake and eat it? Again, I shouldn't say eat it because according to Rashi, he's not eating it. But according to Rashi, he remains in the state of Matzi Ladure. And he's already Chayav as a Gazlan. How can he be Chayav a Gazlan? We already have a Gazlan. So Rashi was very much aware of this problem. And what did Rashi say about the first guy, the Tochev? Lo, everybody has a choir. Lo Avid Lo Midi. Why love him? Love him? Basically, it's either because he thought it was his, either because he wasn't interested in taking it for himself and having any benefit for it, whatever answers you're going to give. But the first guy is not the Gazlan, hence the Ochel could be a Gazlan. And that's what he says here. Beautiful Shtikl Torah, he says, Vahi, the Ratzim Yizeh, Ratzim Yizego, V'chayv Midin Mazim, V'chayv Shedin Mazki Efshar, V'chayv Esolcha B'nidon D'idan. Right, he cannot, you know, Mazik is not a candidate here because of Kim Levi Ramine. Right? The Einachiv, because in order to achieve Mazik, you need Mufsad Min HaOlam, and that's only at the moment of Bliya, which is simultaneous with the Chiv Misa. Okay, he's Shaita Chav Chav. V'chayv Midin Gazad, I see, L'chayv Ho'ed Mikorim Shebola. Is Rashi holds that there's a chiyuv gzeil even without what?
He doesn't hold mias.
He's not operating with mias. So therefore, Rashi can only check off the box of Gazlan based on two conditions. Two boxes have to be checked off. Number one, you have to assume that this gzela b'shevi al taseh, that's going to be a problem for another ketzos, but right now we're going to let it go by. And number two, you're going to have to assume that the rishon, meaning the tochev, is not a gazlan. So again, as far as the rishon is concerned, he's not a gazlan because of all the reasons we get. And Rashi says, lo avid lo midi. As far as the sheni is concerned, he can become a gazlan because it's not gzela. And he makes it impossible for this object to be returned because he made a decision. He's not giving it up, no matter what. He's not giving up the truma. No way, no how. So he becomes a gazlan. Where's the maisa? Ain't no maisa. Where's the blia? There ain't no blia. All there is a decision on his part. And that's where, das lik, that's what it means, nahadir. When the Gemara says nahadir, it means at that point he becomes a gazlan. And the rishon is not a gazlan. Nimtza. Now let's make the cheshbon in terms of another ketzos about what constitutes gzeil. To Rashi v'tosus pligi im mischayev mishum gazlan bi'od ha'maychol nimtza b'piv kodim shiblo. Well, how would you rewrite this text of kodim shiblo in conceptual terms? Shev v'altas. Are you with me, Rabosai?
Sure.
Kodim shiblo. What did he do? Golish. He did not lift a finger. Kodim shiblo, and he's chayav as a gazlan. Mishum shemachzik bo, because he's not willing to let it go. I die to the gzela until he finally swallows it. Ain't a rotzalach zero. Rabos, a whole new definition of gzela. Mm-hmm. Gzela means I am holding on to something. How did it get into my hands? Because Yedem put it in my hands. Right. If Yedem puts it in my hands, and for some reason Yedem is not a gazlan for whatever technical reason. Let's say he was a cut in the face, I don't know, that would be a lumdish shayla, okay. But let's say he's not a gazlan, he had no intention of stealing you. I'm going to be a gazlan, why am I a gazlan? What did I do? I did nothing and I'm a gazlan. But the answer is Eder Rotzalach zero, a whole new definition of gzela. You're chayv mishum gzela because Eder Rotzalach zero. And that predates the chiyuv blia and the chiyuv for truma and misa. The Eshel of Armachlakoso, Tihine Aktsos, again, this is the later Ktsos, it's a very happy Ktsos, it's in Simon Shin Mem Ches, right? And he says the following, that Rashi tells us, okay, this is very strange, because the Ktsos builds his whole case on Rashi. This is weird. The Ktsos says that Rashi in Mesechtabah Metzias says, you're only Chayav v'nichna shamvino because of the Ne'ilah. So the Bema Me'atzma enters into your Rishus. You decide to steal it. You don't become a gazlan simply because you made the decision to steal it. Hey, you know, your fat, beautiful Elsie the cow walked into my corral. No way am I going to return it to you. This is like a godsend, you know. I don't want to return it to you. And Rashi says, no, he's not a gazlan. Why? Because he needs a Maisa. He has to grab onto the cow, or at least he has to lock up the pen. And if you accept the Ktsos based on Rashi and Bamitzia, then you come to the conclusion of Tosis. That Tosis says that Acher Tachav Lo Bepiv, there's no Maisik Zela, even though he decided not to return it. And therefore, the only moment in time that he can be Chayim is after the Bliya. So Tosis now has a problem. What do you mean after the Bliya? Then there's Kimlev Derabin. The answer is there are two parts to Bliya. Is Bliya and is Chilas Bliya and Gemar Bliya. As I told you many times, this whole sugi reminds me of Bia, of Ha'ara and Bia. You know, it's Chilas Bia and Sophia. You also have in Shchita, you have Chilas Shchita and Sof Shchita. He says, oh, Rashi Svirli, the Chayav Mishum Gazlan Af Kodim Shembola. But now we have a problem. Because the Ktsos bases his case on Rashi. That Rashi himself requires Ne'ilas Deles because otherwise he's Gzela without a Mice. And here we're saying that he's a Gazlan from the moment that he decided that he's not going to cough it up and return it to its owner without a Mice. So he says the following. This is Rav Baruch Ber. Now, whenever you see Rav Baruch Ber, I don't know. Tovel Abroch, I wish you a lot of luck. A lot of luck. I never had too much luck with Rav Baruch Ber. But maybe there's an exception to the rule, you know. V'lo domi lahi debab mitzia. Why? Now we're going on to page Kuf Mem Aleph, for those who like a text. The Yesh Chilek Bein Din Ganav LeDin Gazlan. Holy mackerel, Rabosai, do you know we have just stepped into a Pandora's box?
Quagmire.
A difference between Gneva and Gzela. And one of the two is going to require Maisa, hence Rashi and Bob Metzia. The other is not going to require Maisa, hence Rashi here in Ksubis. Which is which? Obviously, if in Alice and Ksubis we're dealing with Gzela, then Gzela doesn't require Maisa. Obviously, in the case of Nal Befaneh Bob Metzia, we're dealing with Gneva. Hence, you require a Maisa.
Not really.
But what's the logic? What compels such a thing? And he says the following. Ganav is chayev not only kerev, but he's also chayev kefel. He says, you see that the Torah is viewing the ganav, or shall I say, classifying or categorizing the ganav as a kind of a criminal, in a sense. I mean, obviously he's a criminal. He's a no good criminal, and the gazlan's also no good criminal. But the tashlume gneva come under a new category here. Gzela means, you know what? I'm taking away your object. Gneva is something else. Gneva is a blatant violation. You know, you remember the Gemara that says that that he's not afraid of Shomayim, but he's afraid of Bnei Adam, right? So he's a chutz v'nyak, he's like a koifer, you know, we'll stick him on with kfira, whatever. So we're going to look at the criminal nature of Gneva. Whenever we talk about criminal nature, says the Birch HaShmuel, we've got to be talking about a mice. Thought, ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Machshava L'Maisa, except in the case of Akum. But for us, God has compassion. Not so in Gzela. Gzela is more of a Kenyan aspect. Gzela is more of a monetary Choshen Mishpat Haloch. There's no Arachayim here. There's no ritual law here that enters into the picture. In Gzela, it's pure Kenyanim. Have you removed the Kenyan of the Gazlan? Well, if the Gazlan is not going to get it back, because I'm not going to let him get it back, then I'm a Gazlan. The Gazlan is a Gazlan because he has undermined the Kinyane Nigzal, even though he's lacking a Maisa. I can't understand one thing, if somebody could help me. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that he's only Chayav because Nol Befanel. Okay, he's only Chayav for Gneva for Nol Befanel. You want to know if he's Chayav Kefal or not? I need Nol Befanel. But why can't he be Chayav as a Gazlan? In other words, every Ganav is also a Gazlan.
Is that true?
Unless the door is open. If the door is open, that's not considered Gzela. He can be chayav as a ganav when he does a maisa, and that means nol b'fanel, he's going to be chayav kefel. But without a maisa, it's lo nol b'fanel. And if it's lo nol b'fanel, then the kinyane anigzal is still alive and well.
Yeah. So if you're going to say that, you're going to say that he's a ganav at the moment that he decides he's going to take it, even though he's ain't bo maisa. Are you going to say Veshiv is like Zela Shir Gazal is also only, but he has to just in his mind shift it back over to the Baal?
You mean magically? He
no, wait a second. Kimolo Kalpolto, so to speak.
Right, Kimolo Kalpolto. Look, I don't know. It could be, Alan, that there's something to what you say. It sounds funny, but maybe it's true. If at some point, you know, there's a machlokas we've shown him in Get. Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but it's very reminiscent of your question. A woman has her hand fisted closed, and the Baal stuffs the get into her closed hand. Machlokas Rishonim, where that's called Vinasa Biyada. So some Rishonim hold the following. Look, he can no longer get back the get, as opposed to the case of Mashicha Biyada. Why? Because she's holding on to her fist. Other Rishonim say, nay, it's not a get, because that's called Tli Gitech Vigavi Karka. Her strengthening onto her hand is considered, is what makes it impossible for him to get back to get. So I say the following, and maybe Alan, your svar is not completely mufka, even though it sounds like a funny svar. If the Gazlan is holding an object which was stuffed into his hand by someone else, like that's the tocha, but he's holding onto it in such a tight way that it makes it impossible for the nigzal to get it back. It's quite possible that according to Shitas Rashi at least, he'd be chayev as a gzid, as a gasa. And if that be the case, then as soon as he's rafes yado, as soon as he looses his hand, that could be a hashavas agzela. I don't know. Think about it. But what I do want to talk to you is about the machlokes between the Ri and the Ritzvah. Now this machlokes, you may recall, we touched upon back on, let me just get the page here, back on page, I think it was Kuflamid Beis, if I'm not mistaken, if somebody could take a minute to look for that. And that's what we have. Okay. No, I'm sorry, Kuflamid Vav. Kuflamid Vav. So you'll see in a paragraph on the left column.
Yeah, well, let me use your hand.
Yeah, but I think the Ritzvah you quotes a little bit earlier. Let me just see. Yeah, by Tosus. Tosus asks on Rashi, "My kaparak ilo matzila dure, am I chayv misa?" In other words, Rashi introduces the concept of anus in the mitzias, in the scenario of lo matzila dure luki kagon shemirtzono meiniach lo letokev. He commissions the tokev to put it there, and therefore he cannot claim he's an anus. So the whole problem, the Gemara, in the case of lo matzila dure, is because he's an anus. Why didn't the Gemara just answer that he told him to put it there? And if he told to put it there, okay, so then he's going to be chayav. He's going to be chayev in lo matzila dure, lo matzila dure. But moment lo machayev, kaved lo, kaved. Right? In other words, you have to know where to put the comma here. Uman lo machayev, kaved lo matzila dure, comma. In other words, you'll ask me, well, if that be the case, let him be chayev mamon because of. Just 1 second. Give me 1 second. Sorry. Uman nami lo machayev. So I have to get the cheshbon here. Sorry. The Gemara asks, "He's an anus." Luki kagod shemitzono. Sorry, niachlo litcho v'chaygam nechayv miso. Okay, fine. Chayv miso. Mamon. What does it mean, Momon Nami Lomach? Momon, is there a printing error here, or it's just my mistake? Umomon, Umomon, Kiva de lo Motzi La Dure. A little bit ambiguous here. Umomon Nami Lomot Lomachayev. Oh, he's saying the following. Since he commissioned him, then we have to, oh, see, Tosus is now gonna construct what he thinks is going to be a valid scenario for Kimle D'Rabmine, right? And that's why he's attacking Rashi. Right, again, the whole premise of Asugi is that there's no Be'idna, no simultaneity, there's no Kimle B'Rabbinim. But Tosus says, well, if he commissioned it, there would be some Kimle B'Rabbinim. Why would there be Kimle B'Rabbinim? So he's saying the following. As far as the Chiyuv Misa is concerned, even though it's a situation of Tochav V'lo Matzila Dure, he be Chai because he commissioned him. So therefore he's Chai Misa. And as far as the Chiyuv Mamon is concerned, well, he cannot be Chai for the act of taking it, right? Because he was purely, passive, not even beyond passive. You know what I mean? It was already down his base up Leo, but nevertheless he has Hanos Grono. Herb, you remember that Hanos?
Yeah.
You know that he should pay for the Hanos. So he's saying the following: that his chiyuv to pay for the Hanos emerges simultaneous with his chiyuv misa. And why is he chayav misa? Rashi says he's an honest man. He's not an honest because he told the guy to do it.
So what?
So if he told the guy to do it, then he's going to be chayif anos me'ayin, as we discussed at great length, right? Because the machol sasurus is mesasik is chayif, as long as he has kavana for the hanah. So once he commissions someone else, he's going to be chayif. And at that very moment that it goes down his esophagus, he's chayif for gzela. I'm sorry, not for gzela, not for mazik, neither of them, but rather for hanah. Correct? There's a chayif hanah. Oh, so that's the kash of Tosfos. Kosav haritzpa lefari shitas Rashi the pshita le'ashas the ma'irik shetochav lo bal korcho the shetochav lo mertzono miyad kishem mason befiv velo ahadre kana miyad lischaya ba'onsin. Do you hear what he's saying? The Ritzpah, right. The Ritzpah is saying that if the tochev was commissioned for the tchiva, then in that case the chiv mamon by far predates the chiv misa, because the very moment that the tochev puts it into his hat, into his mouth, and he, the ochel, decides not to cough it up, already he's made a kinyan. Now I'm not sure if the Ritzvah is holding that that piv is darko b'kinyan and tzachotz. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But afilim tinsalom shalochel tochu b'kush. Let's say the tochev is. He doesn't, you know, how does the tochev get, do you ever think about this question? How did the tochev get it down the base of Leah? You know, that's a little bit of a challenge. So that's called tochev bekush, right? He pierces it with some sort of a, how would you say it in English? A long pole, so to speak. Not so long, it's a small pole, you know, and he pierces it with the end of the pole.
It's an implement, question.
Yeah, what's it called? Whatever it's called. I'm sure in medicine, in dentistry, there must be some name for it, no?
Yeah, large toothpick.
We'll call it an enlarged toothpick, okay, just for the fun of it. And that's called a kush.
Why is it?
And mitrilosa, wait one second. And now it happens. Mitrilosa ad gmar beis hablio, mikomakom konoso befiv l'schaya v'yonsin. Okay, so again, this has to do with the Ritzpah's shita. L'shita's ri, the rishon the tochev, is chay mishum gazlon, but also the sheni is chayv, and that's because the rotsim izegov, rotsim izegov. L'shitas Rashi, rishon ene gazlon, v'rak hasheni is chayv. V'od mashma mi Rashi, v'chiyuvo shel sheni, mishum maziku. Okay, that was the vacillation back and forth. Again, we came to the conclusion it cannot be mazik, and Rashi can't be taken literally, but right now in this presentation, he's reading Rashi literally, is chayv mishum mazik. Because again, he's assuming now that it was shalom mirtzono. Now let's fast forward to Kuf Lamed Beis, which is on page Kuf Mem Aleph. Ubazeish Levayer Esamach Lokas Ariva Ritzvah Sheven Uliel. The Ritzvah Svirule Diem Tochav Lo Birtzono is Miyad Kishemaisim Befiv Velo Ahadre is Kana Lishai Beyonzim. So again, according to the, let's just get the facts on the ground. Now we have to get the lovedness of it. But the Ritzvah would say that if it was mirtzono, then the very moment it goes into his mouth, and the nitchav decides that he's not coughing it up, he becomes a gazlan. And the Ri says, no, he doesn't become a gazlan while it's in his mouth. We have to wait till he swallows. Oh, so what's the lumdus? The Ritzvah svirulei the afal gav shelo osa shumaisa. Right, according to the Ritzvah, you know, you can't, l'chora, this is against the Rashi, but Metzia, the Ketzos's Rashi, that you need a maisa in the ila. Again, we said that that's only as far as Geneva is concerned, but let's extend it to Gzela for the time being. If we do so, then the Ritzpah is a problem because he's just holding it onto his mouth. He decides not to regurgitate it, and he's chayev as a gazlan. Aval aris really to be in ma'isa gzela. V'lachein heicha shetochav lo b'makom de'lo motzi ladurei chayev rak al hanos grono umeo. Now, he can't be chayev midin gazlan because he never did a ma'isa gzela. And I think in the footnote here, somewhere or other, he quotes the Nesivus on this, which is double lamed on the previous page. And therefore, according to the Ri, he's only going to be chayv for hanos grono. So if he's chayv for hanos grono, then you don't need a maisa, all you need is that no. Ukshetochav lo b'mokum demotzi ladurei, mischayv rak b'shoshet bolo, dika maisa. Okay, that's all according to the Ritzvah. So Rabbo said, now, do you have pages Tuf Resh Pei Gimel? No, I'm sorry. That's Os Tuf Resh Pei Gimel, which is on page Tuf Mem Ches. Tuf Mem Ches. Okay. So the discussion that we're going to have now is either a complete discussion or an introduction, depending upon how it develops in the next 20 minutes. Here's the discussion on both sides.
Can I ask you a simple question?
Yeah, please.
Why do you say there's no din of moros by chalev?
He assumes that chalev is something that you use as a...
The Etzim Gemara says, begonu chalbo shechaver v'cholo.
Right, so he's chayim shum achila because at that point he swallowed it. But if at the point where he salivates or something that makes it repulsive, he can still use it on an open fire. It's fuel.
So you can use a truman and give it to a dog or whatever.
No, because you're already a mazik if you exclude the kohen from eating the truman. That itself makes you a mazik. But you can't say that in the case of chayla, because no one's going to eat the chayla. So in order to be mazik someone on chalev, you need to rob him of his ability to have hanah from the chalev. Because robbing him of the ability to eat the chalev is not relevant in the case of chalev, because he never would have eaten the chalev to begin with. So the entire value of the chalev manifests itself in the hanah that he'll use it as a sav, or he'll use it as oil and his and fry an egg.
So why does Gemara say b'davki achalo?
Right, because in chalev the only time you be chayev is when you eat it. There's no Isra non chaylev. There's only an Isra achilo. And in order to be chayev as a mazik for achilas chaylev, if you eat somebody else's chaylev, you would have to actually swallow it. The fact that you're chewing it, salivating on it, again, I don't want to get anti-aesthetic, but whatever you don't like, you put it there, call it mos, that would not in any way be a mazik in the case of chaylev. According to that opinion, again, there are others who disagree. Are we up to Tuf Mem Ches? Yes?
Yes.
We have Tuf Mem Ches. Okay. We're learning the Masechta of the Perek, I should say, not the Masechta of Ones Umefat, of Knas. And the Torah says, V'nasan la'avi hanara, that the Ma'anes, by the way, I noticed that in grammar, the Hebrew grammaritarians, they call it the Ones. I always was brought up to call it the Ma'anes. I don't know. So if I use the word Ma'anes, you'll forgive me, because that's just what I'm used to. Somehow in Hebrew grammar he says it's ones. I always thought that ones is
ones.
Ones, right, as opposed to ones, which is the reality, and ones is the one who created this. But I'm going to call it ma'anes if I get away with it. Like Masechta Krisos, there is really no such thing as Masechta Krisos. You know, it's kretot. You know, so if you're a Baron Lichtenstein, you would never say Krisos. But I think the Rav called it Krisos anyway. So there's onus and mafat. So the Torah says vinasan. Now the word vinasan in halachic terms means what's called ha'amada b'din. So whenever you see the word vinasan, we're talking about the ma'anis paying a knas. It means ha'amada b'din. Now ha'amada b'din in knas is radically, fundamentally different than hamada bedin in mammon. Hamada bedin in mammon is just a way that I use the courts to make sure that you cough up and pay me back what you owe me. It's pure compensation.
Except by gittin.
Well, I don't know about gittin, but in the case of knas,
the nasan law.
Right, but I'm saying. I wasn't referring to the etymology of the word venasa. I'm just pointing out that in the case of Bezdin, what is the function of Bezdin in Mamon? It's fundamentally different than its function in Knas. In the case of Mamon, if you owe me 1,000, I just need Bezdin as my supervisor to make sure that I get back the money that you owe me. But not so in the case of Knas. Hamad Bedin in the case of Knas means that the Bezdin will create the Knas. That's why, for example, you need Mumchim. And that's why in Govan Knas is Bebavel, and that's why Knas, you know, there's a whole sugya in Makis on Daf Hey about Adam Zomimim that testified on something which later on we'll find out was true, but it wasn't true at that time. And the reason why the Chayiv is Adam Zomimim is because it's a Knas, and until Bezdin actually hands down a ruling, there's no chiv knas. So I'm just pointing out that in this sugya, hamada b'din becomes critical. Okay, what happened? There was an ones, and she died. Again, we're talking about a naira besula. All the conditions have been met. The man was ma'anisa. He should be paying knas. Says Abaye, no knas. Why? Because the Torah says v'nasan la'vi anara. If there was no hamada b'din until she died, meaning she had already died before the hamada b'din, then hamada b'din to create a knas only applies when it's v'nasan la'vi hanara. She's alive and well, but not avi hamesa. And if she's already gone, Nebuch, then there's no knas. That's Abai's position. And he derives it from Xeris HaKos, that the Torah says, Leonasan Lavi Hanara. Naro Velo Mesa.
That's strange. Yeah.
Okay. Strange halacha, but that's the halacha.
Usual meat and meat.
That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Now, to make life perhaps simpler, but at the same time more complicated, because we have Abai's drasha, we have Rav. Rava doesn't have this drasha. Rava is working al pi svar, and the Gemara says that without the drasha, Rava was left with a suffix. And Rava didn't know what's going to be the deal if she dies. Now, when was the Hamada Bedin? Until now, in the context of Abaye, the Hamada Bedin was after she died. Yeah. Period. That's all. No. In Rava, it becomes a little bit more iffy, because there are two possible scenarios. Let's say that onus happened on her 12th birthday when she became a Nara. Now, when was the Hamada Bedin? While she was a Nara, she died. How many months went by until Hamada Bedin? So, in the first understanding of Rava is something called Yesh Bagar Bekever, which means that the Hamada Bedin took place a half a year later. Don't ask me why they waited a half a year, I don't know. Whatever the circumstances were, all the onus happened a day before she hit 12 and a half, and there was no chance of Hamada Bedin. She died. Yesh Bagar Bekever means that she becomes a bogeres nachtetet, meaning as a dead person. Why? Because the time period from her narus, when she celebrated her 12th birthday, it's really 12 in a day plus simonim, but whatever it is, until the Hamada Bedin was a 6-month period. In other words, the Hamada Bedin, Echshaloya, was 6 months after she became a nara. And magic of magics, Rava says she's a bogeres, which means that the father is out of the picture. That's based on a Gemara in Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, that the Gemara says Nara Velo Bogeres. Comes along Rava, and he says, well, if the time period passed since her Narus, even though she's already gone, Yesh Bagar Bekever, she becomes a Bogeres posthumously. Hence, the father is out of the picture. Yet, life is complicated, because Rava says, according to this version of Rava, her son could collect the knas. Why? because the din of a bogeres is that if the father is out of the picture, she still has rights. She, in a sense, was represented by her father, but now her father's out of the picture. She's a bogeres, so it goes back, reverse back to square one. Now she has rights to collect her knas. She was raped as a nara. And once that happened, that onus happened at the moment she was a nara, we clinched the chiyuv knas, and there are two possibilities. Either the father will collect the knas, or she'll collect the knas. If she's a nara, the father will collect the knas. If she's a boger, she'll collect the knas. If she's not alive to collect the knas, then her yorshim could collect the knas. They would say to her yusha, her son comes before her father. So her son will now collect the knas if you hold yesh baga bekever. Because yesh baga bekever means that she's a bogeres, she's not capable of being tovea the ma'anes, that's clear, she's dead, but the tviya and the zchus tviya still exists, and now it reverts through the process of Yerusha to her son. That's the first version of Rav. The Gemara rejects this version of Rav because the Gemara says it's impossible that she could have a son. Because a woman cannot become pregnant as a ketana, that's the Gemara's assumption. She can only become pregnant as a nara. And naras is only 6 months, and the Gemara assumes it can never extend beyond 6 months. And the third assumption of the Gemara is that there's no such thing as a viable being after 6 months of pregnancy. Today, we have incubation, we have other things, and there are all sorts of weird cases. Even in those cases, Rahman al-Islam, the child will suffer tremendously. I mean, but be that as it may, the Gemara works with the premise that there's no such thing as a nara who could give birth to a viable child who would inherit her.
So, right, if she has a son, she's not a nara. It wasn't a nara when the time of the bia.
She was a nara at the time of the bia.
Not possible.
No, I'm a regular nara. Look, we're talking. Rav is talking about a classic nara. She was a nara at the time of the bia. She died subsequent during narus, and Rav says yesh baga bekever, and since yesh baga bekever, therefore the father is out of the picture. He forfeits his chus, and now reverts to her. She's out of the picture because she's not dying, but now she bequeaths it to her son, who is first on the list of seder nachlis. The only problem is she doesn't have a son, and the Gemara assumes she cannot possibly have a son. So therefore, the Gemara reformulates the suffix of Rav. So what is the final formulation of the suffix of Rav? And this is called Misa Osa Bagrus or Misa Eina Osa Bagrus. Which means we're not talking about postponing Hamadu Bedin. Hamadu Bedin only took place after 6 months later than her Narus, meaning that she became a Bulgaris in the Kever. We're talking about Hamadu Bedin within her Narus. Within her Narus. So again, within the 6 month period since she became a nara, at time T1 she had this onus situation, time T2 she died, time 2-3 the father wants to be tovea knas, and we're all within that 6 month period. But Rava still thinks that the father is out of the picture. Maybe. I mean, that's the suffix. Why? Because Misa Osa Bagdus. Again, I can't explain it to you. Right now, we'll have to accept it on a very superficial mathematical level. The principle is that she becomes a bogeris once she died. All the reshus and all the dinim that accrue to a father, for example, he's mefer nidorea, she's a nara. He receives her maisia dea because she's a nara. He receives her knas because she's a nara. All these dinim only apply as long as she's alive. Once she's dead, the father is out of the picture. And that's called Misa Osa Bagrus.
That's halachically, not physically.
Right. I mean, again, you know, obviously she's a nara, and not only that, she's gone. So what do you mean? But there's a halachic state of Bagrus. What is Bagrus? Bagrus means Yatza Mirshus Avir. And Misa alone, according to this Tzadik Rav Sofek, is enough to be Motzia Mirshus Avir. Hence, he's out of the picture as far as Knas is concerned. The Gemara says, according to that view, the son will not inherit the father, but his mother. I mean, even if there were a son. You know what I'm saying? I just want to get the concept. The concept is that under these circumstances, if I maintain that Misa Osa Bagrus, and she's already dead, then there is no Knas, period. So it means that this Baal, this Boel, I should call him, the man, is locked out, so to speak. Again, I hope he wasn't the one who killed her, but then that's Kimlev the Rabbi anyway, he's part of it. But she died of old age at the age of 12. And he's completely alleviated of a chiyuv knas. The Gemara says on that side in Rava, which is called Misa Bagris Oser, Rava overlaps with Abaye, because again, keep in mind, Abaye says V'nasan la'via nara V'lo la'via mesa, and Abaye says there is no enterprise of knas in this case because she died as a nara. Comes out that according to one side in Rava, which is called Misa Osa Bagrus, we come to the same identical conclusion that the whole enterprise of knas is completely over, thrown overboard because he's got in front of her, what he has in front of him is a bogeris, and he's not in the picture, and hence there is no knas. But now we have a problem, because Rava has one side to say misa osa bagrus, and he doesn't need a gzeris hakosav. The onus and the knas for an onus completely disappears. Why? Because she's a bogeris and she's gone. Why then does Abaye need a gzeris hakosuv of an asan lavi anara v'lo lavi mesa? Forget about the gzeris hakosuv. If, taking that logic of Rava, misa bagris osa, then she's already a bogeris. She's already a bogeris. She's out of the parish of knas. Why do I need the drasha of v'nasan lavi anara? Now, you and I may think that this question is technical. It's like mechanical, it's superficial, but it's amazing how much depth there is behind this question. So don't be mezalzel. It's really, really a tifa sugya. So what I want you to look at here on Tuf Mem Ches, and we'll see if we can accomplish this in the next 7-8 minutes that we have, are three paragraphs that are contiguous, consecutive. That's Me'asugya, Vakati, and V'yishloma. And again, the headline of this three paragraph section is Amar Abaye, Ba'aleha U'mesa, Potu. And keep in mind that the word Potu means there is no knas. We're telling the Manis that he lucked out, so to speak. Maybe he should be saying Kaddish for this woman, because if she were alive, he would have to marry her. But that's it. Shenema v'nosan la v'yanar v'lo la v'yamis.
Okay. And we're not saying that he's cut from the knas, but maybe he's chayav yisa.
Well, no. Again, she died of. I called it old age, because what I mean by old age is that
other causes. Natural causes.
She had kidney failure, Rahman. So whatever it was,
natural causes.
Yeah, she didn't die as a result of the onus. I mean, there is a whole sugi about tsar in onus. But again, nobody assumes that she's going to die from tsar. In fact, one day it says that Asid Litztaratach is Baila anyway, so maybe she shouldn't be able to collect Tzar. I mean, seems, but, okay. He says the following. Me'asugya mashma, de'ein zestam din p'tur miknas. Meaning, this is not a brand new din based on Gzeiros HaKosuv, that we should exclude knas because she died. Because if that would be the case, then it has nothing to do with Rava. And the Gemara is about to say the following: Amrina milsa de pshita le abaye mi boile le Rava, meaning that Rava vacillated, but he had one side in his suffix which is identical to abaye, and that side is called misa osa bagrus. So misa osa bagrus is a svara that we're going to be mafkia the knas here because she's a bogeris. Well, that's not the same as Abaye, because Abaye seems to be indicating that this it's astounded. Astounded meaning astounded zeres hakosuv. Then you have to assume, I forget who's talking here. Oh, the Stipler is talking. You have to assume that Abaye is talking about some sort of a svara. Again, we're going to have a problem here, because if Abaye is talking about a svara, which is one side in Rava, then why does he need the gzeres hakosuv? But we're going to get to that in the next paragraph, Hakati Tzorach Iyun. But before we get to that, Abaye is not coming up with a stam din. I think what he means by stam din is what we call exeris hakasu, that the Torah patters him up from knas. He lucked out that she died. No, that's not what we're saying. But rather, we're saying that she's a bogeris, because the Gemara identifies this with Rava's tzad that misa osa bagus. Fine. Then he quotes a Rashi. Okay, Belin Eder, tomorrow we'll go through the Rashi's, inside. Belin Eder. And Rashi says that Misa Mafka Koachaav Kibagus. So the whole lundus of this sugya is to compare Misa to Bagus. That just like in the case of Bagus, the father is out of the picture because the father's dominion, if you can call it that, over his daughter is limited to a Nara, Binurev Vesavia. When she becomes a Bogeris, the father is knocked out. And now, by parallel, we're saying that once she died, Nemuch, and the father can no longer collect anything for her, he can't marry her off and collect Kesef Kiddushin, certainly can't collect employment, wages, Maisi Adela, he can't be made for another garnish, is therefore she's like a Bogeris. Again, not that she matured during, posthumously and we waited until her 12 and a half birthday, but that the father's rishus over her is a non-entity. Alma, Dilabaye, Misa Sabasi Kamo Bagrus. Anything that the Gemara says to explain Rava, the logic of Rava, which is called in that side of Rava, Miso Sabagrus, has to be identical with Abaye, because the Gemara identifies Abaye and Rava. Again, Rava vacillated about it, but if you hold Miso Sabagrus, then he's saying exactly the same thing as Abaye. And what is Rava saying in Miso Sabagrus? He's saying that Yotzel and Shusav, just like a Bogeris is Yotzel and Shusav. So Misa is the same as Bagrus. V'nema kan din de Misa Sabas hi amafkia v'yitzia mishusav, motzia mishusav, k'shev shebagrus mafkia v'yot motzia mishusav. Ki heichi d'amirin v'sugyav d'aflan in tesa min aliv, d'bo olea u'bagra is li atzma. So in other words, if let's say the onus took place when she was a nara, and the collection of that onus, meaning the hamad bedin, was postponed until she began to go bogeres, then she pockets the money. So it means that we knock off the father because she became bogeres, even though, again, it's very odd because the father had zchuyos to collect that knas from the moment of the onus when she was a nara, but for some reason he didn't do. He procrastinated, right? And his rights terminated. He was not mamamesh his chuyot until she became a bogeris, and now he's out of the picture. So he can't claim. Every monetary claim requires a tviya. He can't be a tovea here because he's nobody now. She's a bogeris, so now she can be a tovas. Afal pisha maisa machayev hoya. Oh yeah, he basically asks my question, but kosvatosis. The Madi Alfina la Mikrov and Osan la Via Nara Velo la Vi Bogeres. He says that if we need a pasuk, it's to establish that as far as Knas is concerned, the father loses his rights when she became a Bogeres before the Amor Bedin. Even though, again, logically you would have said that the father's rights are frozen. I mean, he has rights now that he achieved, and he has to just find the opportunity to lemamesh et hazchuyot, right? To sue the ma'anes, what do you say?
To actualize,
right, excellent. To actualize his rights. No, the pasuk says, v'nasan, meaning at the moment of Amar Bedin, we need a nara, and not a boger. So the father is out of the picture. And therefore the nara now, I'm sorry, now she's a bogeris, but I mean the isha, she herself, the bas, will collect the knas. Oh, so if that's the pasuk, and the drasha is to exclude the father once his daughter becomes a bogeris, minoy alfina, and I don't need any other gzeres hakosev here, but by virtue of equation, if we hold yesh bagar, if you hold misa osa what?
Bagrus.
Is hokinami. Now we know that yalfina minei debal. I'm sorry. Now this is a sugya. On the next daf, the Gemara is going to ask the fine question: what happens if she, the Nara, after the onus, she gets married to someone? Is that enough to be mafkid of Shusav? And the Gemara is going to equate that to Bogeres.
She's still a Nara.
She's still a Nara, but she becomes a bogeres in the sense that the father's knocked off from all his skuyot. And by the way, that's up and down. Right? He can the father is no longer made for Nidorel. He no longer has rights to Maisiodel. If she gets divorced, he cannot marry her off and pocket the money. He has no rights once she reaches Chuppah. Again, it's Nesu'in. It's not Aresin, but Nesu'in. So Baal Levin is says Knosali Atzma, the Nesu'in Gam came out to Yerushalayim. Oh. So now we have a whole slew here. Once we've broken new ground with the drush of an Osan Lavi, a Naravalo Lavi Bogeres, meaning that the Knas could not be collected even though he had rights at the time of the Chiyuv, meaning the Maisa Bia. But now when we're up to Amar Bedin and he wants to actualize his rights, he's out of the picture because she's now a Bogeres. So too, if she gets married before the Amar Bedin with Nesu'in, he's out of the picture. And now we get to the third derivation. Hachinami golikra demisa sabas motziya mirshusa. That once she dies, what mirshus does he have over her?
But where does it go then? But she's dead and he's dead.
The boil, the manis is off the hook. He lucked out. Now, it's interesting because, and this is, okay, I don't want to give away let the cat out of the bag, but how are we doing on the clock? Oh, we're not doing great. All right. So wait a minute. If I can borrow a pencil from someone, oh, I have a pencil here. We're up to Umikomakom. Okay, so basically tomorrow what I'd like to do is give a summary of what we learned until now in this page, and then try to finish up the three paragraphs. Okay, so nothing's left, just to wish everybody
the peg cannot act as a hutzer. The hutzer's a hutzer, Shane and Mishtamirish.
Very good.
But how can you say that anyways? Because the mice is Anara. Ab loses his rights, but that since he had rights before that, he had a nazaka before that time.
So that's why we need Bulgaris here. That's the first one that breaks the new ground. Landmark? What
breaks the ice?
Breaks the ice. The one that breaks the ice is Bulgaris. The Gemara is going to establish on Daf Mem that. Once she comes to Bogeris, he's knocked out of the picture. And you would ask why. I mean, Lechora, logically.
She's dead.
No, I'm talking about Bogeris. The regular case of Bogeris.
The regular case is different.
Right. No, it's not different. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because what we're learning is that just like the father's rights for X, Y, and Z terminate when she becomes a Bogeris, the Torah is teaching me that his right to Knas terminates. And that's a Gevaldige Chiddush. Right? Because in the case of Maisa there, she earned some money after she became a Bogeres. What shaklus does the father have to that? She's already a Bogeres. But in the case of Ma'anes, of Knas, there, the rights were, so to speak, engraved in stone at the moment of the onus. And yet, the Gemara has Exeris HaKosuv, that the father is Vinasan. Vinasan is the Hamod of Din. La Vi HaNaron, she's got to be a Naron, not a Bogeres. And the principle that we're deriving from that trush is the following principle, which has far-reaching repercussions. That whenever the Amod HaBedin takes place at time X, and that time X, she's out of his reshus, despite the fact that the onus and the chi of knas in its fledgling state bequeathed to the father rights to collect that knas, he's out of the picture. Why? Because Amod HaBedin is going to be the critical moment. That's Vinasan. And therefore we're going to derive the following two conclusions: that if she got married during Narus, she's still a Nara. The father's out of the picture because he has no rishus over.
Yeah.
And the third conclusion is that if she dies, the father's out of the picture. Why? She's still a Nara. I mean, it's within 6 months, but the answer is she's out of the rishus.
But the fact is that
father's no rishus over dead.
But he had rishus up to the moment of the Imbatira.
Again, in all these three cases, it's always the same. At the moment of the ones, he was in the driver's seat. He had the schus, said he was coded that schus.
Right.
Then something happened and derailed his schus. There are three different options or episodes that derail his rishus. Number one, she became a Bulgaris. That becomes the paradigm case because here we have Exeris HaKosu. Number two, she got married. And number three, she died. What's common about all these three cases, which has a tremendous impact on Knas as far as the father's position is concerned, is that with any of those three incidents, she leaves the reshus of the father.
Yeah, the difference is, in